I want you to come to Isaiah 43. 43. I'm going to kind of hopefully let you see a little bit of how God works and to release His grace to us. Isaiah 43 speaks of Israel's Savior, only Savior, only one. Verse 1 says, but now, this is what the Lord says. So it's kind of neat to know that the Lord has an opinion, because obviously, I think the Israelites had their own opinion. But here, if you listen carefully and read between the lines, you'll get a picture that I believe may be helpful. He who created you, O Jacob. Now remember, Jacob is the man of flesh. And he was a gift because he carried the anointing. But then it says, he who formed you, O Israel. Now, Jacob and Israel are one and the same individual. The only thing is, if you look at the reality, Jacob was formed in his mother's womb. But when Jacob got to be an adult and had children of his own and a couple of wives, it says, he who formed you, O Israel. Doesn't say he created Israel. So he took Jacob, which was a mess, okay, trickster, full of deception, lied to several people, including his dad, the anointed man of God, and was instigated by his mother to even play the role of his brother. I mean, you know, talk about sneaky. I mean, you know, just plain flesh. But then he says, he who formed you, O Israel. Formation is something that's done by God. Through what? Aches and pains and rejection and all kinds of problems from all kinds of levels. So if you're having a hard time and you're saying, oh God, where are you? What are you doing? I could say he's forming you. He did create you. But the formation is really like taking a lump of clay and the molder and the one that's fashioning it decides that the arm isn't quite right, so he just crushes it and starts all over. How many of you have periodically aches and pains? He might be forming you in a new way through the pain you are experiencing. Because you don't always get rid of the pain right away. Amen? Amen. Would you like to get rid of the pain right away?
Yes, of course.
All right. Has somebody rubbed you the wrong way and you're still irritated after a few days? It could be because God is forming you. Not informing you, because he will inform you later. But he's going to form you into what he needs, which is Israel, which is what? What's the name Israel mean?
Man of spirit. Man of spirit.
Okay, it's the man of the spirit, yes. Anyone else? Huh? It's prince. Prince of God. Not king, prince. Okay? So the Israel in me is my spirit man. Try it on for size. Just close your eyes. Say, the spirit part of me is really the Israel of God being formed in me. Jacob is dying. Yeah, Jacob is dying. That's the trickster, the manipulator, the controller. Got it? That's dying, and the other is coming to life. He's being formed. You see, God is trying so hard to get us to become spiritual beings, and we are fighting him every step of the way. Now, maybe I should have said we. I probably should have said me. But if you look at the history of where God starts to work on you, you get to the point you say, my golly, he's going to win after all. How many have had that experience where you finally get, okay, he's going to win. He likes things done his way. Now that may be strange and it may be uncomfortable, but it is the reality. There may be seasons in your life where you're having a real hard time. And even when you're a pretty girl and you're wondering if anybody ever notices, the answer is yes. God notices, but more important, we know the struggle because we've been there. I could go around asking all these ladies if they remember the struggle of being a little girl. Was it fun? Why? Was it hard and difficult sometimes? Sam? Was it hard and difficult sometimes?
Yes.
Yeah. But God formed Sam into something beautiful.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, how long does it take to form you, Mary? I got two of them. Mary, how long does it take to form you? Mary, tell me, how long does it take?
Lifetime.
Huh?
Lifetime.
Oh, I hope not. Oh, Judy's got an opinion. Really?
Yes.
Huh. How many agree it takes a lifetime? How many would disagree that it doesn't take a lifetime? Why? Why have we got two opinions?
Choice.
Ah, what did you say?
It's a choice.
It's a choice. You can live with the old, thinking it'll never be overcome, and Jacob will always be in control, but that's not true. St. Paul said what? Christ in me, the
glory.
Try it on. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Try it out again. Jesus Christ in me, the hope of glory. Ah, that's how he forms us. He takes the anointing of the Lord inside of us, and he transforms us and changes us and manipulates us and pushes our buttons and irritates us. And sometimes he uses somebody in church to do that, including me. Oh, come on, I should have heard a name then. Good grief.
Huh? We were sparing you.
You were sparing me. But you understand where I'm coming from. I am designed by God to irritate you. I'm irritating which part of you? Jacob or Israel?
Jacob.
Thank you. I am going to bounce on Jacob until he dies.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, but you won't like it. But you know what? I promised, and I know Mary will agree with me on this one. There was a season where she and I would have opinions. And I told her point blank, you know what? I'll never lie to you, but I will not hide the truth from you.
And you told me you love me enough to tell me the truth.
I said yes. More than once I said, I will love you enough to tell you the truth. Now, if I tell you the truth, your battle is not against Mary made of flesh and blood, but against the darkness that's trying to overwhelm you so that you'll never develop Israel in you. And Israel will never be formed. Now I'm going to confess something to you, young lady. You. This morning, when you obeyed, the Holy Spirit reminded me of a word that I gave over you I don't know how many years ago, but I would say it's at least four. That there would be a day where you would be an anointed woman of God playing the organ. And it would not be the flesh woman that you understood or learned. But that you would be the anointed woman of God that would do according to His word, by His direction. And nobody told you to touch that organ today except God Himself. And I bow to Christ Jesus in you, because that was Israel in full power. Yes. The reason I didn't give your name is because I don't want to give your name, because there's many other women out there that are obedient. And I'm not picking on this particular one. I am saying that you can be the woman of God or the man of God chosen by Him, but He's going to form you into what He needs. And a lot of this formation is going to hurt. It's going to cause your brain to go tilt. It's going to cause your emotions to be ripped.
Preach it.
Huh?
Preach it.
But it's the truth. It hurts like hell. But it is getting hell out of the way. Okay? Hell has its manipulative abilities. And it tries to manipulate everything to fit the pattern. That was Jacob's life. He manipulated and his mama helped. Come on. How many have known that scene? Somebody comes right along to confirm a negative feeling in you. Oh, if it wasn't for so-and-so, I'd be happy today. Baloney. But you have somebody that comes over to you. You know what? I keep getting this thought, maybe that if you had so-and-so out of your hair, you'd be having a great day today. Oh, yeah, this confirms it. No, I know I was right. It had to be God. No, it was demons. They'll send helpers across the room to confirm to you that your flesh should not be picked on anymore. All right? I'm not going to talk to you about people here and now, but I will talk to you about something that happened probably, I'm going to guess, maybe 18 to 20 years ago. And I'm going to give you a story, and I'm not picking on the people now. But I happen to know, because I was counseling two individuals that did not know that I was counseling the two of them. One would come, they would sit in my office, and we would work with the Lord to get them to be where they needed to go. Emotionally, physically, etc. And this one night on a Friday, unbeknownst to the pastor, because the pastor doesn't know that I'm counseling these two individuals, but there was a word of knowledge that was given in the Friday night healing service. And that word of knowledge happened to come through the pastor. And he said, would you just go over there and anoint this person? Happened to be a man. And I wasn't the one that went to anoint the person. But from across the room, immediately when the oil touched that person, from across the room, we had a howling session coming out of an individual who wanted, don't touch him, don't touch him, don't touch him. Those were the words. And then the next level of words were of defense. I'll take care of you. You don't have to bow. You don't have to bow. And of course, now the pulpit doesn't know. But I know, because I know the spirit that's operating through the person that's crying out, because it wants to help the one that's about to get evicted. The negative spirit that was about to be evicted out of the individual, the other wanted to help. Did you get the message?
Yes.
When you are getting close to deliverance and freedom, everything will go in the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. Why? To discourage you. Your battle, Ephesians 6:12, your battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not. It's against darkness that wants to keep you and wants to hold you and destroy you. And if it can get a helper to go along with you so that your flesh will rule, yeah, it's going to have a victory. Three days later, I spoke to the pastor because the first level was confusion. And it took a while to get the church quieted down, and boy, I'll tell you, it was a real major shock to many people that were in that church because they did not understand spiritual warfare. They had no concept. They were there to get healed. They were there to get happy. They were there to worship God. But because of that lesson, the pastor began to teach on Matthew 18:18. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and God got his way. And eventually, I ended up facing both these individuals in a private way and reminded them that the negative spirit was of the same nature in both of them. Get to the root of the problem. It's not your flesh and blood that's the problem. It's the negative spirit that operate from it and within it. But God has a plan to form you into Israel, into a prince or princess with God. That's good stuff. That's his plan. Now, you can go with your plan if you want, but I tell you, his plan is greater. It's more powerful. The next verse says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters," it doesn't say if, it says when. "I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers," rivers with an S, it won't be just one, "they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire," woohoo, "you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. When I am the Lord, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Is he the Savior of every part of you, spirit, soul, and body? Absolutely. So what does he want? He wants your flesh and blood to be delivered from sickness and disease. He wants your emotions, your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions to be set free and under the anointing of your spirit, guided by the Holy Spirit. That's what he wants. Now, some of us have our own opinion. Today, I would like you to have his opinion. Okay? I want you to go to verse 24. Part B of verse 24. You can read the whole thing later on, but I want you to see what happens to most people. We're so focused on our sins that we cannot receive from God. And here Isaiah is saying very clearly, verse 24, the second part, "But you have burdened me with your sins and wearied me with your offenses." Those two words will stop a healing because you're so focused on your imperfections that you can't qualify for God to set you free. But his opinion is you're focused on that part of you. And I can be guilty of that same thing just like you. I am not exempt. Even I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. Did you get it? I am he who blots out. Who is he? He's Christ himself. "Your transgressions for my own sake, and remember your sins no more. Review the past for me. Let us argue the matter together. State the case of your innocence." Okay. How are you innocent? What made you innocent?
What happened at the cross 2,000 years ago?
The blood of Jesus and the sacrifice on that cross has given you total freedom. And you need to declare it so that it'll be manifested in you. If you don't declare it, you'll sit with it. So if the Holy Spirit is saying, state your case for your innocence, that means open your mouth. I should have heard a lot of amens. I only got one. Amen. Open your mouth. Declare your innocence. Verse 27, your first father sinned. Your spokesman rebelled against me. So I will disgrace the dignitaries of your temple. And I will consign Jacob to destruction and Israel to scorn. So he's really saying that he's going to judge his people there. And he's in charge. Because there are some that have their own attitude. But the bottom line that I want to go with you is this. I want you to repeat it. I, even I, who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. And remember your sins no more. I will review myself from this day forward. And see no more sin in me. And I'm going to state my case. I'm innocent. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:9. Say, I'm justified. In the courts of heaven, and in my own heart, totally justified before God, and before man, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, and I praise you that you're working on the inner parts of me. The Israel in me is coming to life. So get a clue, neighbor. God's working on you like he's working on me. And get ready to be a princess or a prince for God's glory. For God's glory. For God's glory. And I'm sin free.
So are you.
Good girl. I received that.